In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess
that we are adapted to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done then. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
The mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Glory of God. the Father. Amen. 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 Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, we implore you to hear the prayers of your people. Be our strong defense against all harm and danger, that we may live and grow in faith and hope through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. There are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust, there may be yet hope, to give one's cheek to the smiter and be filled with insults. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will still have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me.
O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health.
You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave.
Sing praise to the Lord, all you faithful. Give thanks in holy remembrance.
God's wrath is short. God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends the night, but joy comes in the morning.
While I felt secure, I said, I shall not be disturbed.
You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear.
I cried to you, O Lord. I pleaded with my Lord, saying,
what profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my help.
You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
Therefore, my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this manner, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something, now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there might be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet, begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhages stopped, and she felt it in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware of that power that had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Mark's gospel today, I think we can relate to how life is just full of interruptions. It's not just Jesus that's being interrupted here. Jairus, when he asks Jesus to heal his daughter, there's an interruption of an unnamed woman who's hemorrhaging for 12 years. The woman who's been hemorrhaging for 12 years, she's had her life interrupted because of her illness. Jairus and his family, they've had their lives interrupted because of the illness of their daughter. And notice here how we see two different worlds at play here. There's different stations in life, right? Jairus is somebody. He's a leader of the synagogue. He's a well-to-do person. He has status. You don't even know the name of this woman who's been hemorrhaging for the last 12 years. So society sees this woman as nobody, and seeing Jairus as somebody. And Jesus sees them both as someone, right? He sees them both. So that should give us a sense, too, that the kingdom of God that's breaking through seeks to bring all people into the fold, not just the somebodies, and then we have some outcasts and nobodies, but everybody belongs here in God's family. And there's also a sense that how bad things happen, even to people who are somebody, right? The heresy of the prosperity gospel is, if you have this status and enough faith and this and that, nothing bad should happen to you. And if it does, that means you had weak faith. Jairus was a leader of a synagogue. I'm sure he had great faith in all that he was doing. And look what happens to his daughter. So again, that dismantles some of those false messages that are out there in our society as well. So these two families, these people that come crashing into Jesus' world, their lives have been interrupted, and they interrupt Jesus. Now, we know all too well the minor disruptions of daily life, right? Does your days always go as planned? You have right? Do you get a phone call that disrupts you? Does something happen? You know, you need gas. Maybe there's a flat tire. You know, there could be big disruptions. There could be minor disruptions, right? And then there can be those significant disruptions that just completely transform our lives as we know it. That's just a reality. So what have been those interruptions in your life? I invite you to think about that and to ponder that. What have been those interruptions that have just completely changed your life for maybe forever? To this day, your life has never been the same because of it. Our plans, whether they're short-term or long-term, they can change at a moment's notice because of those interruptions. Doesn't matter who you are in this world, no one's immune to it. I think collectively we could all have a recent experience. How useful was a 2020 calendar or planner, right? How useful was that? The uselessness of that because of such a profound interruption should give us pause to even as we move forward. Life is still going to be filled with interruptions. And then we have death as the final interruption. That's what Jairus is trying to avoid for his daughter. That's what this woman who's been hemorrhaging is trying to avoid for herself. But the good news that we can cling to this day is that Jesus welcomes interruptions. Did the hemorrhaging woman need to even be acknowledged by Jesus? She was healed. She got what she needed, what she desired. Jesus could have pressed on further with his schedule, knowing that she's already taken care of. But what Jesus offers to us in this text is that healing is more than just a cure. What does he say to her? Daughter, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Somebody who is a nobody, we don't know her name. Jesus has given her a status as daughter, as child of God. You who have been an outcast because of your illness, you are brought back into the family of God. He's doing this by saying, you are my daughter. No longer estranged, no longer isolated, but you now belong. Go in peace. And as Christians, we're called to imitate this. In our Bible study this past Thursday, maybe a more blunt way to say it is we're to copy Jesus, copy what Jesus does in ministry. Tradition and ritual are important, but relationship is central to all of it. If relationship with God and others is not central to what our ritual and traditions call us to be doing, then it's just empty, it's hollow. And this is something we should be mindful of when we minister to people, because Christians often split what a person needs apart into two different categories. There's the body and there's the soul. Some only care about the person's soul, and they neglect the physical needs of the person. Others only care about serving the physical needs and then neglect the spiritual. Now, what we've been doing in the past few years is, I think, a niche that's been carved out is our feeding ministries. And it's something we need to be mindful of. Giving people something to eat is a cure of sorts to hunger. But what about those that we're feeding that feel isolated from community? What about those who are being fed but are just lonely? What about those who are depressed because maybe they've lost their job, lost a loved one? What about them? What about those needs? Yes, the food is a blessing, and as I said, indeed a cure of sorts. But we need to also go one step further. We need to welcome the interruption. See, it takes more work. It takes more distraction. It takes us to stop from our schedules and routines. And welcome those interruptions to invite them and remind them that they belong to the family of God, where they can also, in addition to having their physical needs met, to bring whatever is troubling their souls to this community of faith and know that they will receive love and a place to belong in Jesus' name. This means we must be open to those interruptions that Jesus will bring into our lives. And this will include people in our own households and out there in the world, and call us to be centered in that Christian love that we're called to. This means God's going to bring interruptions to us when we need a word, an act of love shared with us. You ever have that smack you in the face? Where the interruption isn't so much for you to do for someone, but that interruption is for them to share a word of love to you, a reminder. So our prayer today, I think, should be that our hearts and minds are open to such interruptions. And the good news that we see here in the gospel lesson today is that when Jesus arrives to heal Jairus' daughter, who they thought was dead, he says she's only sleeping, and maybe that's a foreshadowing of what is to come. That Christ comes into the world to interrupt our lives with divine things, and that love, that divine love, brings us back into full communion with God right here and right now, but it also interrupts the death that comes to us. In Christ, death itself is interrupted, and life eternal is promised. See, the ways of the world do not welcome interruptions. The way of the world tells us to stick to your schedules. And when we do that, we neglect the needs of our neighbor. So when we get interrupted, we automatically see this as being inconvenient. And it enables us to just focus only on us. But the way of Christ shows us a different way. We don't ask now, what does this have to do with me? We ask, what can I do for you? We wonder, how can I bless you? The world wrecks our plans, but God can wreck our plans for the better. And when we're centered in the Word, and we hear God's word of forgiveness that interrupts us, it pulls us away from the world and pulls us towards Christ. When we're centered in the Word and we hear God's word of life, that reminds us of that eternal life that's underway. In holy baptism, death is already been interrupted because we're joined to Christ, and we have nothing to fear and can graciously interrupt the world, the broken ways of the world. We can be a holy interruption in this world by sharing the love of Jesus in our community. And when we gather for worship around word and sacrament, we are interrupted by God's means of grace, and then we're sent forth to engage this world very differently. So my sisters and brothers, don't see interruptions as interruptions, but opportunities to be the healing and loving presence of Jesus Christ in this world. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able. To say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, O Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us come before the triune God in prayer. God of hope, the ministry of your church extends across borders, from nearby neighbors to far and distant countries. Accompany all those who labor eagerly in service of the gospel, that through your good news all might experience transformation. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the air we breathe, the water we drink, the land that provides our food. Guard all species of plants and animals from harsh changes in climate, and empower us to protect all you have made. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, for all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Lord, in your mercy. Righteous God, we pray for nations and their leaders. Give them a spirit of compassion and steer them towards a fair distribution of resources, that none among us would have too much or too little. Lord, in your mercy. God of healing, your touch has the power to make us whole. We pray for those suffering from physical or mental illness. Embrace all those who are sick, especially Matt, Annelle, Tracy, Scott, Vincent, Pat, Dina, Candace, Stan, Blaine, Michelle, Audrey, Rhonda, Nola, Dan, Diane, John, Gloria, Bob, Megan, Rob, Leah, Lori, and our homebound. Surround them with your unwavering presence. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this assembly and all those who gather together in worship. Revive our spirits, renew our relationships, and rekindle our faith, that we might experience resurrection in this community. Lord, in your mercy. God of all, we pray for those in our armed services and their chaplains. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for the faithful ancestors in every age whose lives have pointed us towards you. Envelop them in your love, that with Cyril, Bishop of Alexandria, and all your saints, we may be reunited with one another in the last days. Lord, in your mercy. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding presence. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise. Call us to your table. Grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation. David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing. And full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows, and Jesus, our brother, he was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen."
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen."
Amen.
Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen."
Amen.
O God, you are breath, send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread, feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine, warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire, transform us with hope. O God, most majestic, O God, most motherly, O God, our strength and our song, you show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life, the life of the Father to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life now and forever. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Distribution of the sacrament will be done continuously. I'll be in the center with the consecrated hosts. We'll have stations for wine on both sides. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side over here. An usher will release you forward. They'll have trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. I'll give you the host, and then you can, whatever your preference is, wine or grape juice, you just go to the chalice of your preference. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet. For all is now ready.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your strength, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John. Send in the community to share the love of Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.